My name's Joel Wells. I'm the lead pastor here at Harvest City Church, and it's great to have an opportunity to share the Word of God with you this morning. If you're visiting with us today, it's great to have you here. Before I get into what I have to share, I just have a couple sort of announcements or some information to pass your way. How many of you know my mother, Linda Wells? She's a bit of a legend around here if you're new to the church. And my mom and dad and our family moved here about 37 years ago. And my mom has been on staff at the church for 37 years. In the early days, we didn't pay her because there wasn't enough money in those days. And she did it as a volunteer. And life goes in circles. And so my mom has now transitioned from a paid staff to a full-time volunteer again. Over the last number of years, Mom has sort of reduced her in-office hours, eventually giving up her office, and Jason Bandura's in it now, and she's taken the time to be at home to help with her great-grandchild, still doing pastoral work, involved in many different ways in the church. But as of this September, for the first time in many, many years, she's gone off paid staff at the church. And so we had a little celebration for her as a pastoral team this week. We gave her a gift, and many people shared what she has meant to them and to our church. It was very emotional, very touching, very honoring of her. And so just wanted to let you know, she's very concerned that you would think she's retiring. And she is not retiring. Her and my dad are still running the Connections class. Mom is helping with the women's ministry in our church, leading prayer groups, leading life groups, coaching. That will never stop because it's just who she is. And as long as she's able to do it, we'll take it, whatever she can give us. But I just wanted to let you know there's been a little bit of a shift, no longer on paid staff, but full-time volunteer. Thank you, Mom. Also, I realized recently that a lot of you do not know that at the end of the month, Anatoly and I will be going to Uganda to do another crusade with Lift Evangelistic Ministries. I'm excited to go actually have a ministry in Saskatoon called Beautiful Feet, who are involved in different kinds of work in Africa, and have a passion for, growing passion for crusade evangelism. So they're bringing a team of people to come with us. We have one of our pastors from Walla Walla, a Lifelinks church in Washington, will come with us for that as well. So we'll be sending Anatoly off next week to go ahead and do the final, or a couple weeks to do the final preparations. We'll pray from here on the Sunday morning and send them off. So we are, please be in prayer for that as the final details are just being worked out. And we don't quite have all our money yet, which of course has me on my knees these days. We're getting close, but that is certainly a matter of prayer for us. All right, Father, I thank you for just what you're doing in our lives, what you're doing in our church. God, we just continue to cry out to you for the moving of your Holy Spirit amongst us. Lord, we want your presence with us. It's your presence that changes lives, that makes all the difference. And God, I pray today that as I minister the Word of God, I pray that in some way, in some form, it would impact each and every one of us, that no matter who we are today, that there would be something here that we could take home with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, for the last 4 weeks, we've been doing a series with you on the theme of my church, based off of a statement that Jesus made to his disciple Peter. In Matthew 16, he says to Peter, "I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." If Jesus is building his church, then a reasonable question that we should ask is, what does his church look like? Maybe a better question than that is, does our church look like his? The goal of this series has been an attempt to wrestle with these questions and to try and answer them somewhat. And so far, we've seen that his church has an overcoming, victorious mindset. We learn that it values the presence of God above all else, that it's undivided in its devotion to the Lord. It's made of people who are devoted to one another. It's characterized by authenticity, leading to real transformation. That's four Sundays summed up in four sentences. But today I want to talk a bit about how God has designed his church and about how he brings it together. In scripture, we see several images that help portray for us what the church is. One of those images is an army. When Jesus talks about the gates of hell not prevailing against his church, there is this idea of warfare. The kingdom of darkness is being invaded by the kingdom of light. Paul often used this imagery. He spoke about the armor of God. He told Timothy to endure hardship like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. To the Corinthians, he said, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." So there is something about this language that shows us that being a part of his church is not about playing religious games. It's not about having some nice family traditions. There's a real devil, church, who comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. There is a heaven, but there is also a hell. And so Jesus came to rescue his people from the kingdom of darkness. And as followers then of Jesus, he gives us the same mission to destroy the works of the devil. And this mission is not just for church leaders. This mission is for every follower of Jesus Christ. Earlier in the series, we read in Acts 2:17, where Peter stood up on Pentecost and quoted the prophet Joel and said, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people." So in the church that Jesus is building, he is raising up an army. The more soldiers we have, the more force there is against the gates of hell. As one soldier serves beside another, I believe that there is a multiplication effect that happens. Deuteronomy 32:30 has this scripture. It says, "How could one man chase 1,000 or two put 10,000 to flight?" Notice the multiplication. "Unless their rock had sold them, unless the Lord had given them up." When the Lord is involved, when one serves and then two serves, multiplication happens. But there's another image given to us in the New Testament that helps us understand how God builds his church. We see that the church is called the body of Christ. And Paul uses this description in several of the books that he wrote in the New Testament. Perhaps the most well-known passage is the one found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In this chapter, Paul explains that God has given unique gifts to each of us. And the reason he's given them is to accomplish his purposes in the earth. Each gift is valuable, and each gift is more effective when it is combined with all the other gifts. Let me read some of this chapter to you. In verse 7, Paul writes, "A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a special message of knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to one to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or if it's coming from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides what each gift, each person should have. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, some are free, but we all have been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. If one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Now, there are so many great truths contained in that passage, but I just want to emphasize a few things. First, it's very clear that no one person has it all, not even my mother. Yes, we all have the same Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit distributes gifts to each of us however he decides. Unless every gift is in operation, that body cannot be functioning at full capacity. Paul also said in Ephesians 4:16, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. The second thing I want to emphasize is that not only does the Holy Spirit distribute the gifts as he wills, but he is also intimately involved in fitting all those gifts and pieces together. I want us to notice a couple phrases. In 1 Corinthians 12:18, he says, "But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it." Ephesians 4:16 said, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. You see, as God is building his church, he is purposely forming it. He is sovereignly placing people where he wants them. Every good GM or coach who's ever put together a championship team knows that if you don't get the right blend of personalities, roles, and abilities, you can't win. And our God is a master builder. And one of the amazing things that I've observed over the years is how God uniquely puts his people together. I've seen it in my life, and I've seen it as the pastor in this church. Several years ago, it was apparent to me that we needed somebody in our church who could really move us forward in our worship ministry as a church. At that time, we hadn't ever had anybody on staff full-time in that area. We had some gifted people who were serving, giving oversight, but they had some other passions as well. And they also realized that we needed some more help. I'm a little fuzzy on the details, but I think at that time that I'm thinking of, Debbie LaChance, one of our pastors here on staff in the whole area of counseling, was giving oversight to the team at that time. And she had arranged a worship conference here in the church and had invited a guest speaker, somebody who I had never really met before, and his name was Andrew Gow. As Andrew led worship at the conference and ministered, I was there. I was thinking about this the other day. Why was I at a worship conference? I mean, I don't sing. I guess I was being supportive. I was there. And as Andrew was leading in worship on the opening night, I had this sort of wishful thought or this prayer, I guess you could say, go through my head. And it went like this. Lord, I would really like to have that guy on our staff. He could help us. And as soon as I had that thought go through my mind or sort of this wishful prayer, I just felt like the Lord said to me, well, then you can have him. Ask him. And I started thinking, well, I don't know if we have the budget for this sort of thing, and this would be totally new, and I don't really even know this guy. But I couldn't get that thought out of my head the rest of the night. And so I went home, and before I had a chance to even say anything to anyone, I just sort of plopped down on my couch, and suddenly my phone is buzzing, and it's Debbie LaChance. And she just said to me, Joel, for whatever it's worth, I thought I would just throw this out to you. But tonight during the service, I just had this sense that maybe God is directing us to ask Andrew and Kimberly to move to Regina. I nearly fell off the couch as I read it. I said, this is unbelievable. Tonight during the service, I just felt like God said, well, if you want them, ask them. And so 2 days later, Angela and I had a heart-to-heart chat with Andrew and Kimberly at Smitty's. And I floated this idea, would you ever consider moving to Regina? And in our conversation, I discovered that God was already preparing their hearts. And the rest is history. When I look at all that Andrew and Kimberly have brought to our church over the last 10 years, I marvel at what God did. You know, so much of our online presence, our production team, our growth in the area of our worship teams has Andrew's fingerprints all over them. We wouldn't be doing what we're doing today without him. Remember when God first opened the door for me to preach gospel festivals in Uganda? On the second trip, I brought a band from our church. Actually, Andrew was on that band, and we brought this keyboard player named Anatoly. I didn't know Anatoly too well at that point. I knew that he was a Ukrainian truck driver, and he had happily joined our team. On that trip, I discovered, I had always thought Anatoly was sort of this, I don't know how to describe it, how do I describe it? I didn't know how funny he was. I didn't know how much personality he had. He was an absolute hoot, and I just found myself having lots of laughs with him over lunch and dinner. And I also found out he had so many great ideas about crusade evangelism. And he began to suggest to me over supper one night that we should start a ministry, an evangelistic ministry, that if we were really going to see God do what he could do, then we needed a ministry, we needed to raise some money, and we needed to hire a crusade director. And it sounded great. But I said to him, well, where would I ever find such a person? I wouldn't even know where to begin. And it was then that I discovered that Anatoly had a whole previous life I knew nothing about. And he said, well, I used to be a crusade director. And I discovered that he had experience and skills in the exact places that I needed. He had been on a unique journey, filled with disappointment and frustration and confusion as he went from Ukraine to Israel and finally to Canada, where he basically stumbled into Harvest City Church almost by accident. How many of you are glad that Anatoly stumbled through the doors of our church? These are just two examples, and there are hundreds of them, literally. And we can look back and we can see where God, as the master builder, was moving the pieces around as he built his church. My friends, some of you are sitting beside people today in this service who God has placed in your life through divine providence because he's building his church. Some of you have found your way into this church, even from other countries. And I want to tell you, it's not by accident. God has brought you here for a reason. I had tears in my eyes in our connections class 2 weeks ago. I like to go in and greet those who are new to our church in the first class. And I used to just bring a greeting, but now I stay through that entire first class because everybody there shares their story of how they ended up in Harvest City Church. That staff room where we held the class was packed to the gills. So many new people coming through the doors of our church. And as I heard the stories, people from all sorts of different nations, all sorts of different places in our city, rich and poor, all together in this room, different backgrounds, different stories, sharing how God has brought them to our church. I couldn't help but shed some tears at the end of it. I was just choked up because I just sat there and said, God, I can see that you're up to something. Look at the people you're bringing us. Have you realized that the look of our church is changing? People are coming from all over the world. People are coming from every part of our city, the inner city, the outer city, and everything in between. All sorts of different backgrounds, rich and poor, young and old. Reminds me of the verse I just read where Paul said in verse 13, some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, some are free. But we've all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we share the same Spirit. I don't care where you come from, the inner city, the suburbs, India, Nigeria. We share the same Spirit, and God is bringing us together for a divine purpose. And he continues to add more pieces. He's building his church for a great purpose, to storm the gates of hell in our city and the nations of the world. We are a part of that army he's forming to bring hope to those held captive by the forces of darkness. That's why we have our slogan, Live Your Call. Because we don't believe that God brought you to this church to sit on the shelf and collect dust. He didn't position you in this house to be a spectator. He has called you and gifted you for a unique purpose. And as you bring your gifts and as you serve, I want to tell you something. All the other parts benefit. The whole body gets healthier and grows in love. Now that all sounds wonderful, and it is. But in the fitting together of unique personalities and giftings and backgrounds, there are a couple things that I want to challenge us with today if this is all going to work the way God desires. The first is this. We need to honor and value the gifts in others. God, in his genius, has designed his church to be interdependent on one another. God has made it so that only together can we be the full expression of who he is to the world. By designing the body in this way, you'll notice there is no room for arrogance. It keeps us humble. It keeps us dependent on God and each other. None of us can say to the other, I don't need you. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. As we read earlier, God wants us to give special care and attention to each other so that there is harmony among the members. One of the prayers that Jesus prayed, and Kathy alluded to it in her communion this morning, was this. He said, I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. May they be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me. One of the greatest testimonies of who Jesus is to the world is a church that loves one another and walks in unity and honor. But in order for that to happen, we need to, A, make room for each other. You know, sometimes I've seen churches and ministries limit their impact and stunt their growth simply because someone was unwilling to step back a bit to allow someone else some room to grow. I am who I am today because room was made for me in this church. If you don't know, I grew up in this church since I was 13 years old. I was given opportunities. I was really supported and encouraged and actually allowed to grow. I don't know if you think I'm a good preacher or not today, but, oh, thank you. But if you think I'm bad today, you should have seen me 30 years ago. For me to grow in this area, someone who was better than me at it had to pull back. I'm sure our preaching quality suffered a little as I grew. But after I developed, we multiplied our influence as a church. God has given me a voice. You helped raise up this voice. You know, sometimes I get annoyed when someone asks me, who's preaching or leading worship on Sunday? And sometimes in the back of my mind, I think they're asking me because their attendance depends on who's preaching. And that ticks me off. Can I be ticked off? Yeah, I think I can. Not everyone has the same ability. And of course, there is a certain standard of quality that we attempt to have on a Sunday morning with many people in the room. But as we identify gifting, if we won't make room for it, it will never grow. And so, church, we must have a culture that celebrates and encourages growth. Making room is also about allowing people who think different than us to have a voice in our lives. You know, I have learned that there is something to learn from everybody, even our enemies, if we have the humility to listen. One of the reasons that we have a preaching team here, my mom thinks maybe it's just because I'm lazy. Don't want to preach every Sunday? Not true. Preaching is probably the easiest part of my job in some ways. But one of the reasons why we have a preaching team here is because we believe that as a church, we are enriched by a diversity of styles and emphasis. You know, when I listened to Jason preach last Sunday, I think, I could never piece a sermon together like that. Some of our speakers provoke and inspire by moving our emotions and appealing to our hearts. I think if you look at my preaching style, you might think, I don't know if he said anything brilliant, but something stirred in my heart today. Because I'm not that brilliant. But I do believe God has put a passion in my soul. And when I preach, the passion comes out and it ignites something. Jason probably makes you ponder, what did he actually say today? I saw that scripture. I've never heard it talked about in that way before. And it rolls around and around in your mind. I don't know what Anatoly does. He's preaching at Glen Elm today, so those poor people, God help them. Some of our speakers in this church are what I would call preachers.
that move the emotion. Some are teachers. They move the mind. Different styles reach different people better. We all have our passions. And what I have found is sometimes my passion really connects with some, and somebody else's passion really connects with somebody else in a different way. Making room allows for a different way of doing things. You can't grow without change. As new people step forward, they'll do things differently. Can you appreciate it? Can you accept it? Or will you get annoyed because it's not the way you would do it or the last person did it? We're a multicultural church. I don't know if you've noticed. One of our biggest challenges is that each culture does things so differently. So if we're going to allow the giftings that God is bringing to our church from people from another culture, then we're going to have to celebrate it. And we're going to have to celebrate the variety and embrace it. Each generation will do things different than the ones before. So do we want to be a multi-generational church? Then we need to make room. B, we need to embrace the rub. Embrace the rub, because God builds his church with every type of personality, gifting, and background. I promise you, there's going to be all sorts of people who are going to rub on you. You will have constant opportunities to extend grace and practice humility. In Ephesians 5, Paul talks about five types of gifts that God has given to the church. We typically refer to these as the fivefold: apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers. Now, there are many other types of gifts, but these are sort of five big areas, and a lot could be said about how they function. But let me use them as an example of the rub. We have a lot of prophetic people in our church, and I love them, but sometimes they're really annoying. You see, a prophetic person tends to live on the mountaintops, jumping from peak to peak. They see what God is up to, what he wants to do. They're always looking forward. They're releasing vision and dreams and promises. And to them, it's all right here, right in front of them. Why can't you all see it? Pastors, we tend to live down in the valleys. We see this journey between the peaks, this whole process to get from here to there. And sometimes we can get lost in the struggle down in the valleys. So both can rub on one another. The prophet can't understand why the pastor is taking so long and why he's so cautious and why he's so methodical. Meanwhile, the pastor is annoyed because the prophet always has his head in the clouds talking about growth and chains and promises, and he's just drowning trying to keep up with what he's doing now. Now, I'm overgeneralizing, but you get the point. You know, personally, I'm cautious by nature. I think I'm a better plotter than I am a visionary sometimes. And so I've often found that God, in his genius, puts me around people that I refer to as a burr under my saddle. They're always poking and pushing and sometimes kicking me to move. But to them, I'm like a bit and a bridle in their mouths, because they're always running off half-cocked, not thinking things through. And so I'm always going, whoa, we need to slow down and think about this for a second, because we don't want to just run off a cliff. But both are needed. If we had no prophets, we may never move forward and take some risks that we need to take that lead to increase. If we had no pastors, we may never persevere through the challenge on the journey between the peaks. You understand what I'm saying? Iron sharpens iron, the scripture says. And so honoring and valuing one another means we will embrace the rub of that, because we see that God uses it to build his church. Letter C, we need to see the value in team. Proverbs 11:14 says, without wise leadership, a nation falls. There is safety in having many advisors. When I read through the New Testament and look at the church modeled for us, I see examples of team ministry all through it. Churches had a plurality of elders and deacons. There were all sorts of gifts in operation. And there is something about a team that provides wisdom, protection, and accountability. At Harvest City Church, this is truly one of our core values. We believe a team is better. So we strive to have teams at all levels of our ministry. Almost every one of our ministries in this church is run by a team of people. Someone said, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. Going alone is quicker and easier in some ways, but there is a longevity and a stability that a team provides. I think we have proven that in our history at Harvest City Church. As a leader in our church, as the lead pastor, I believe that I have to model this value. And I do to the best of my ability. I'm always trying to invite opinion and counsel from those around me. I submit myself to the eldership team of our church, to our pastoral staff. I see myself as just one voice in the voices of many. And I believe this is the way that God has designed his church to operate. We are better together. Finally, this morning, I want to challenge you that we need your gift. We need your gift. Yes, you. If God has designed the body so that we need each other, then no matter who we are, we need what you can bring to the table. The enemy of our souls will often be whispering in our ears that we have nothing to offer or nothing to give. Do not listen to that voice. It's a lying tongue. Amen. He will want us comparing our gifting with other people. Do not do that either. You're foolish if you do. The enemy always wants you to compare yourself to somebody beside you. When we read in Ephesians 4:16, as each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Did you notice? As each part does its own special work, as you do your part, the whole body is healthy. If you are a foot in the body and you don't operate at peak capacity, we walk with a limp. I love how Paul emphasized that some parts need more deliberate recognition than others. I think you would agree that on every team, there are always positions that are more up front than others. You notice the quarterback more than the offensive line. As a pastor or an evangelist, my gifting happens to be in spotlights. Highlighted on a stage. And so it's more recognized and honored as a result. Also gets criticized more, so there's a balance. But the truth is, I have no stage without those who work without a spotlight. You know something that I am discovering more and more as I talk to people about how they ended up in Harvest City Church? Do you know that the people who are bringing the most people to our church these days are those who work in our production ministry? That's the truth. We have people that get up early each week. I know because I come early. I walk in the gym. I see them setting up the cameras. I go into the back room. Do you know we have a back room? It used to be Dave's office.
is now our production room. We've got people back there that are running the cameras and mixing the video and mixing the sound to broadcast our services. I was up in our meet and greet a few weeks ago and meeting a couple from India that God has brought to our church. How did you find us? They were in Canada 5 days and already in our church. How did you find us within 5 days? Oh, we've been watching you online for 2 months. We couldn't wait to be there in person. I hear that all the time. One of the ladies that got baptized last Sunday, wasn't that awesome to see people getting baptized? One of those ladies came for prayer at the end of the service. I didn't really even know her. In fact, I don't know if I'd ever even met her. And so I was praying with her up at the front and hearing a bit of her story and her journey. Well, how did you ever end up here? Well, I started by watching you online. And my family watches you online. And she told me what community in Saskatchewan. Now they're watching every Sunday online. And I finally started coming to the church, and God is changing her and healing her, and she got baptized last Sunday. God is doing something special in the lives of people. I'm thrilled to be a part of it. But without the behind-the-scenes people, where there is no spotlight, there is no ministry. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So whether you are up front or behind the scenes, whether you are doing something supernatural or super practical, would you be faithful to give what God has given you? Would you be faithful even with a little? If you will, an amazing thing will happen. By bringing your gift, you will enlarge the impact of the whole. And I bet you will see something else. God will add to you as well. When we're faithful with a little, God gives us more. It's the body of Christ functioning as one that becomes that army that busts through the gates of hell. God has called you and gifted you to be a part of it. Amen. Why don't you stand to your feet with me? I'll close in prayer. If you're here this morning and you need prayer for anything, I'm not having an altar call at the end of this message today, but we do have a prayer team. I think you're going to see them with some lanyards. One of the things we want to do is just provide opportunity for prayer every week. So whether you got a healing in your body or you're discouraged about something, you just need somebody to pray with you for whatever, just make your way to the front. We have some people that are ready to use their gifts to bless you. Father, I thank you for this church that you are building. Lord, you're the lead in this church. God, if you don't build the house, those of us that labor are going to labor in vain. And so, God, we just acknowledge that you're the master builder. You're the one who knows where to fit the pieces together. And God, I thank you that you're bringing people from every part of society into this house. You're weaving us together. And so, God, would you help us to appreciate the variety and the differences and even the rub? Would you give us grace for one another? And would you help us to be ones that celebrate the variety and make the room and encourage one another so that we can be who you've called us to be? God, would you raise up an army in this city that will truly bring the kingdom of light into the kingdom of darkness? We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Bless you, church. Have a great rest of your week. There's some coffee out there in the foyer. If you need some prayer, we have people that would be loved to pray with you. Bless you.
Well, that brings us to the end of our time together. We hope that you found insight and had moments that spoke to you right where you needed it. Before you go, share the love and post this inspiring video to your page. Who knows how many lives could be impacted by it? And if you aren't already, like, follow, and turn on your social media notifications to keep up to date on all the exciting things happening at our church. Here at Harvest City, we're all about connecting with our community and celebrating those big moments. Like if you've recently decided to fully dedicate your life to Jesus, we'll be your cheerleaders and help you take those first steps. And if you're going through a tough season, let us know how we can help you. Plus, we've got tons of programs for kids, youth, and adults if you're looking for a new community to be part of. To send us a message or check out more about HCC, head over to our website, harvestcity.ca. To all of our financial partners, thank you for investing into the kingdom of God. Your generosity allows us to keep doing what we're called to do and reach even more people. If you're interested in contributing, please visit harvestcity.ca/giving for more info. Thanks for being here. Keep living your call, and we'll catch you again soon.